Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gary, Rami, and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a Lane, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, where the 2018 racing season continues. Go to GreatLakesDragaway.com for the season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discount ticket packages.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, with Anthony Mandela on the other side of the glass. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and here's what you have to pick from between now and the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show at 6 o'clock. Right lane, who is last night's loss on left lane? Was that Kobe's way of saying, I'm better than LeBron, and do you agree with him? And the return lane, are you worried that the bullpen is running out of steam? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Emotions ride high when the Cubs are playing the Brewers, especially around these parts, Sparky, and especially when Cubs fans come and invade Miller Park. So, of course, when the Brewers lose a game the way that they lost last night in 11 innings, 7-2 after a hard-fought first 10 innings, with emotions riding high, I think it's almost human nature to start pointing fingers and start trying to figure out who's to blame. And I've seen blame go to Jonathan Villar for missing the throw from Lorenzo Cain coming in from the outfield. I've heard people upset with Craig Counsell and saying he doesn't know how to handle his pitching staff. He pulled Guerra too early, or stayed with Josh Hader too long, or didn't stick with Jeremy Jeffers long enough, or just for putting Matt Albers in there, period. I've seen a lot of finger-pointing and a lot of blaming going on for the way that things played out last night. Who do you think last night's loss is on?
Well, I was mad at Counsell when he pulled Garrett 72 pitches. Wasn't very happy about that. I mean, I get it. You're up. You bring in Hader, who's been, you know, untouchable to this point. You haven't lost a game in which he's come in and pitched. So you go to him for two innings, you get to Corey Knebel, and that's that. Obviously, that didn't work out. I'm not mad at Hader. Eventually, that was going to happen at some point. But I'm just telling you how I was in that moment. And then Jeremy Jeffers only pitches one inning when he's pitched multiple innings. Now, I'm guessing the reason he pitched one inning was because Counsell realized that because he burned Hader two innings, he can't have him now tonight. So he needed somebody else back there to set up Knebel tonight. He didn't want to be without both of them. So he pitched Jeffers one inning with the hope that he could probably bring him back tonight. That's my guess as to why he pulled him for Matt Albers. Albers got absolutely rocked and then got put on the DL today because he's been horrible his last few outings. They're saying something with his right shoulder now. They're calling up Jorge Lopez. So for me last night, it was Counsell. But at the end of the day, what Rami said earlier in the show was 100% right. You have to score more than two runs. I mean, if you're playing a team that has as much talent as they do, you've got to throw up four or five runs. If your pitching staff holds them to two runs, that should be enough for you to win a baseball game, especially at home at Miller Park, where there isn't wind blowing in like there would be at Wrigley on a game where you get shut down offensively. Got to be able to score more runs than what they did last night.
And it would have helped if they could score more runs the way that the Cubs put up their first two runs, which got them in that game yesterday, which is to put some pressure on the Cubs, play a little bit of small ball, and have somebody cross home plate without hitting a home run in a crucial situation. The Cubs got those first two runs on the board on a Javi Baez walk, of
which
all things.
Never happens.
He steals second base, forces a throw into center field, takes third base on that, and then a base hit scores him. Ben Zobrist presses the issue and really
drops the ball.
Demands a perfect play from the outfielder in Lorenzo Cain and the second baseman in Jonathan Villar, and half that equation did not come through when Jonathan Villar dropped the ball. He scores on a base hit later on. I told you before earlier in the show, and usually when I say something like this, I'll get a bunch of answers on Twitter. Nobody had an answer for me on Twitter. I can't remember the last time the Brewers came up with a big run via a base hit.
Well, Arcia against the Cubs, the guy brought up earlier.
Okay, how far back are we going for that?
It's been a ways.
That's pretty far back to come up with that. Where they were tied or it was a close game and they were in striking distance and they were able to bring somebody home on just a base hit with a little bit of small ball. That does not seem to be in the Brewers' forte, and really that ended up being the difference in last night's game. If they could play a little bit of small ball, you probably have more than two runs up on the board at the end of nine innings, and we're not even talking about what went down in extra innings. So I'm pointing a finger at the offense as a whole. Who do you think last night's loss was on? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Moving to the left lane, the Bleacher Report did what I thought was a pretty cool deal, Gary. They talked to a bunch of current and former NBA players about LeBron James and his legacy after he falls to 3-6 in the finals. And the first question that they asked this group of guys, LeBron has three rings. He's been to more finals than any player in modern times, but he's 3-6 after this series. Does that matter to his legacy? Kobe Bryant's answer, all I thought about as a kid personally was winning championships. That's all I cared about. That's how I valued Michael. That's how I valued Bird. That's how I valued Magic. It was just winning championships. Now, everybody is going to value things differently, which is fine. I'm just telling you how I value mine. If I'm Bron, you got to figure out a way to win. It's not about narrative. You want to win championships. You just got to figure it out. And I read that quote on the air yesterday, and it didn't hit me until after I got off the air and came across that quote again later on Twitter. I was like, man, I think that was Kobe saying, I'm better than LeBron. Just count the rings if you have any questions. Right. Is that what he was doing there, and do you agree with him when he says that?
Well, yeah, it feels like it because Kobe gets really omitted in the conversation of greatest of all time. It's really about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And maybe he's third. And I don't know why that is. I mean, Steve tried to shed some light on that earlier today, but it feels like he's the third guy in this conversation. So, yeah, he's going to throw a little shade, but I heard today that, though, he possibly could be a Laker. So I wonder how that's going to work out.
Yeah, that's the hot rumor right now.
Yeah, that's the hot rumor right now.
Because his kid is enrolled in high school mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. A report came out today that says he just flat out doesn't like Houston as a city, and that's not someplace he'd want to play. We're going to be getting a whole bunch of little tidbits about LeBron that really don't mean a whole lot of anything until he decides where he's going to go. This is going
to
be...
And not to say anything about your kids, but I would say this. LeBron seems like the type of guy that's not moving away from his kids.
No.
I think he wants to be around. So if his kids is enrolled in high school in L.A., I don't see him playing in...
Well, they're
let's
in
say,
Ohio, though.
Huh?
They're in Ohio.
But the offseason is here now, right? So
summer, but they shouldn't be in high school in the summer.
Huh?
They shouldn't be in high school in the summer.
Right.
That's just off time. So, I mean, the fact that they go there in the summer to L.A. just means that's where they go for summer vacation or whatever the case may be before they go back to high school in Ohio.
Oh, you think that's where it is?
That's what it's been.
So they've been going to summer school every year?
When he went to Miami, they stayed in Ohio or whatever is my understanding.
Brian Windhorst basically said yesterday, and again, paraphrasing, that doesn't mean anything. That his kid is enrolled in high school in Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah. He said, we're going to be getting reports like this, and this it's actually where
so
I got
the
thought.
Why would he enroll in high school in California then instead of Cleveland?
I don't know.
No, he could be. This is how this works.
Yeah.
So he's going to school in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
LeBron's thinking about going to L.A. It's some Ritzy private school that you have to be accepted to.
Yeah.
Right?
He's already accepted.
So he's on. Yeah. Okay. So fine. We're going to put the application in case I decide to go play for the Lakers. Uh-huh. We're going to put it in. If I don't, we stay here. We don't go. Whatever. Right. Who cares? That's all.
Okay.
We could read into it. Maybe he does want to go to the Lakers and suck and not have a chance to win a championship. They won't suck, but they're not going to win a championship in L.A. No. It'll just be a waste of his.
Well, they've got two, three young players that are pretty good.
If you're going to waste your career, you might as well stay in Cleveland and be at home.
I suppose.
Going back to the subject at hand, though.
Why move your kids if you got no chance to win rings anyhow? It's one thing if you go to Houston with Paul and Harden. At least you got a legit chance to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
You got no chance with the Lakers.
No, you're absolutely right about that.
None.
If you're making a basketball decision,
moving
make a basketball decision.
For that?
But if it's not, then go and do what you got to do. I don't begrudge him either way. No. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whether he chooses to go and chase the rings, or he chooses to go and chase money, or he chooses to do what's best for him and his family and staying close to them, any one of those three is a very logical reason to make whatever decision LeBron ends up making. I don't begrudge him for doing any one of those three things. But does anybody here think that Kobe would put Kobe on their list ahead of LeBron?
No.
Despite the rings?
No.
No, right? I don't think even people who simply count rings, who that's how they make their lists, would say that, because the first three rings that Kobe won, he was the Robin to Shaq's Batman. I think almost anybody who knows anything about basketball can recognize that. And that takes a little bit of that value away from those rings when we're having the discussion of who's the GOAT or ranking our players, however you want to rank them.
For me, though, the fact that Kobe did it without anybody outside of Gasol means something. For me, Michael never did it without Scottie. LeBron's never done it without another star player like Kyrie Irving or Wade or whoever. So for me, that holds weight with me, with Kobe doing it with that squad and being able to win twice without Shaq. That's a pretty big deal to me. And that's why I said, if LeBron would have won and beat Golden State this year, for me, he's in front of Michael Jordan. We're done. Because Michael Jordan doesn't have anything even close to what LeBron would have had to go through. To beat a super team with literally one other all-star player on your roster in Kevin Love would have been unbelievable. Now, they got swept. I don't hold it against LeBron James because they were that outmatched talent-wise. But if he would have pulled that off, the argument would have been over for me.
So that's the left lane. Is that Kobe saying that he's better than LeBron? And do you agree with him? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. And moving to the left lane and returning to some Brewers talk, Sparky, are you worried that this bullpen, which has been historically good, is starting to maybe run out of steam? The workload is getting to him.
I'm worried that it's going to run out of steam before the end of the season. That's what I'm worried about. And look, Boone Logan wasn't in this bullpen when this bullpen was going so good. Since he's come back, he's not been very good. Matt Elbers early on looked like he was going to be pretty decent. I was campaigning for him to be closer while Corey Knebel was out. He hadn't been very good. They put him on the DL the day after he blew it last night in the 11th. Then if you look at guys that have been consistently good, it's Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffers. Those two. And then Corey Knebel, since he's come back, you're relying on him to still be your closer. So let's say three. Once you get past those three, who else is there? It's not Dan Jennings, because Jennings hasn't been that great of a guy either in his last several starts. So you can't go to him, because in the beginning, he was lights out too. You go to him, you knew he was going to get a 1-2-3 inning or not give up any runs. He's blown up on him. I just fear that if this bullpen continues going the way it's going, they're going to be exposed, and this could be bad for this Brewers team because their starting pitching can't get through six regularly. Last night, Garrett throws 72 pitches, and you pull him through six, giving up a run. Then previous to that, you had, who was it, Chase Anderson gave up a hit, and he got yanked after four innings, five innings, whatever the case was. I get you love your bullpen. I'm with you. But for me, call me old school. Call me not buying into the new wave that Rami wants to talk about every day on the show. But I like my starters going six or seven innings, getting my relievers two innings to have to get through combined for them. That's what I like.
You know, tonight's game will be a good game. Well, to me, will be really the barometer setter in that how these guys can come back and set themselves up to take the third game. I mean, you're going to see tonight how competitive and how these guys can truly compete with the Cubs, and I think that's kind of what we're looking for. I think what we're looking at is a Brewer team trying to figure it out and basically growing in front of our faces. And I think tonight is a very pivotal game for them trying to take over and beat the Cubs.
You worried about the bullpen like Sparky is?
Well, I'm worried about everything with the Brewers as far as the Cubs are concerned. The road goes through the Cubs. The Brewers have to get better somehow, some way, to overtake the evil empire.
Yeah, I don't think they measure up to the Cubs in a lot of facets of the two teams' games.
Exactly.
But if there is one place where I think the Brewers are just as good as the Cubs, probably even a little bit better, it's that bullpen. Even with a small step back, there aren't a lot of teams in baseball, period, that have a back end 1-2-3 punch in the back of their bullpen as strong as Knebel, Jeffers, Hader. They just aren't out there. And I expected the Dan Jennings of the world, the Matt Albers of the world, those other guys who don't carry as much weight in that bullpen, I expected for their performance to drop off, take a small step back. But even with that, and even with an even smaller step back from those three guys I just mentioned, Hader, Jeffers, and Knebel, it's still one of the best bullpens in baseball. The Cubs, the Diamondbacks, and the Brewers have been swapping the 1, 2, and 3 spots as far as bullpen ERA all season long. And I think those three teams will continue to swap those three spots, injury aside. But I wouldn't be too worried about the Brewers bullpen from the sense that it's still going to be very, very good for a long, long time. I would be worried, though, if you were expecting them to keep doing what they've been doing up until this point in the season, when we've seen this minor stumble from Dan Jennings and Josh Hader and some other guys in that bullpen.
I'm not expecting it. Talk to Council. Talk to Stearns. They're the guys that think they're good with the starting rotation, that they can go 5 innings and we'll be fine the rest of the year doing it this way. That's not me. I'm not that guy. They're the ones that are comfortable managing it the way they're managing it. So go talk to them. That's their deal, not mine.
So we've reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Now you get the final say on them. Right lane, who is last night's loss on? Left lane, was that Kobe's way of saying, I'm better than LeBron, and do you agree with them? And the return lane, are you worried that the bullpen is running out of steam? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan.
Last night looked like a close shave.
I was going to do that,
being
too.
Being that way, but that's all right. Harry's Razors will give you that close shave like it gives me, Rami's dad, my dad, Anthony Mandela's dad. He's using Harry's Razors now, too. This is what you need to know. A nice close shave. Why? Because you get a razor blade that is so sharp. They've manufactured over in their German manufacturer, or their German factory that they own over in Germany. Plus, you get a nice, smooth, comfortable glide to go along with their Harry's razor as well. And the shave gel smells so good. For a limited time, only new customers can save big on a Harry shave set with Sparky at Harry's.com. It's pretty simple. It's Sparky, right? Not that hard. Sparky. And you are all set to go at Harry's.com. Now, let me tell you what you get with your Harry's set that you get through Harry's. 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Again, $3 plus free shipping. It's worth it. Father's Day coming up this weekend. Your dad will love you even more than he already does. Plus, on 100% quality guarantee, Harry stands behind the quality of their products. You don't love your shave? Let them know, and they'll give you a full refund. We're talking about $3. Plus, don't confuse Harry's for the other online brands that force you to subscribe. Harry's lets you resupply however you want. Auto refills are an option, but you can also go a la carte style. For a limited time, only Harry's has a special offer for listeners of The Big Show. New customers get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with code SPARKY at Harry's.com. That means you can get a starter set that comes with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3. And free shipping when you use code SPARKY at Harry's.com. Sparky at Harry's.com. Join the millions of guys who've already switched and go to Harry's.com today. Use code SPARKY at checkout to claim your offer.
Right lane, who was last night's loss on? Left lane, was that Kobe's way of saying I'm better than LeBron? Return lane, are you worried that the bullpen is running out of steam? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM The Fan and pick a lane when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this. You can go your own way. I feel like we've heard Fleetwood Mac a lot on the Wendy's Big Show. Between Throwback Thursdays and Memorial Mondays, and today is now a Tribute Tuesday, paying tribute to Danny Kirwan, original guitarist who passed away at the age of 68 last week. We're hearing a lot of Fleetwood Mac on the Wendy's Big Show. I think I've had my fill of Fleetwood Mac on the Wendy's Big Show for a while. I like them and all. I'm a fan of Fleetwood Mac. They're all very talented. Legendary band, but enough. Enough already.
What's the girl lead singer?
Stevie Nicks. Yeah. That's your girl, right?
Yeah, I like her.
I know you do. She's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she likes to camp and stuff like that, you know.
She does?
Yeah, she shoot deer and stuff like that.
How do you know this?
In the blinds, you know, with camouflage.
Are you just making all this up, or do you know this?
Oh, man, she don't even shave, cuz.
Here's what you're picking from in Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane. Right lane, who is last night's loss on? Left lane, when Kobe says, I've always just counted rings. Is that his way of saying, I'm better than LeBron, and do you agree? And the return lane, are you worried that the bullpen is running out of steam for the Brewers? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FM. The Fan. We'll check in with the franchise, Tim Allen. Get his thoughts on Brewers and Cubs. He's going to join us at about 5:35. Right now, let's go out to West Allis, check in with Alex here on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
You?
I'm picking the reason for why the Brewers lost yesterday. Just watching that bullpen, it was mismanaged because there's guys getting pulled too early. I'm sitting right behind the Cubs dugout, and I'm giving the guys the business. I honestly feel like it could have been my fault because right after they played Take Me Out to the Ball Game, I was messing with Hayward, and he knocked one out of the park as I went to go get a beer. And I stuck with it for all 11 innings. And by the end of the game, I was being quite annoying, I'll be honest. But they all turned around, and they were all rubbing it in. All of the Cubs were rubbing it into my face.
So you think it was a little bad karma coming back to get you, and the Brewers were just a byproduct of that?
I don't know if it was motivation of pushing them to, because I was really giving it to Hayward after Quintana had gotten off the mound.
That didn't work out for you.
Quintana, and then I started focusing on Hayward very, very hard, and he hit that triple at the end of the game, and man, he looked right at me. I couldn't sleep last night.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So everybody out there, blame Alex in West Dallas, who was sitting right behind the Brewers dugout.
I can't wait for the game tonight, though. I'm super stoked.
Me too. I mean, this is, look, man, I know I'm a Cubs fan, and we ended up on the right side of it last night. But that was a fun game to watch last night.
Pressure
was it bust not?
Pipes, man. Pressure bust pipes. And they were right there. Now, where did Brewers go from here? How do they respond? I'm ready to see it. This is awesome.
Also, you have legitimate, I don't know if you guys felt this, you have legitimate playoff atmosphere in Miller Park in the month of June.
Right.
Did you feel that last night?
I did.
Sparky?
I don't want that atmosphere in Miller Park ever.
I do.
What?
No.
That's fun, man.
No, there's nothing fun about Cub fans.
I love
park.
That.
Oh, that way.
No, I just mean the electricity, the atmosphere.
If we're going to have a playoff series, I'm fine with anybody. I don't want to deal with them in a playoff series.
Oh, man. You guys.
None.
Somebody would probably physically assault me by the end of a playoff series with the Cubs.
Yes.
And Cubs fans invading Miller Park for all that time.
I'd do it now.
I'm telling you, if that happens in the playoffs, there will be a record number of fights in Miller Park. Just mark it down.
Yeah, probably.
And you'll have more Cub fans there than ever because families just won't go.
That's a possibility, too. Let's go to Doug in St. Francis. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Doug? Doug? Dougie Fresh? Doug going once, twice? All right, gone. Let's go to Manny in
Manny!
Mequon. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Manny?
Yes, hi, guys. You know, everybody's entitled to an opinion regarding the Cubs Brewers, right? So let me give you my 10 cents worth of input.
Please do.
One of the things that is interesting, this morning I was listening to your broadcast, and I believe that you guys were interviewing somebody from the Chicago Press that was broadcasting the game last night.
David Kaplan, their TV pre- and post-game host, joined Chuck and Winkler this morning.
Okay, fantastic. One of the things that he said, which is very visible when you watch the game, is that obviously the entire team, they have a certain swaggered attitude about them that the Brewers seem to lack.
Yeah, they've won a World Series. The Brewers haven't.
There you go. They've come to Miller Park with an attitude that we're going to come in, we're going to kick your tail, and we're going to take three games away from you, end of story. And right now, when you look at the Brewers, at least it appears on television, they seem to be lacking that swagger, that attitude that we're going to do whatever it takes to defend our house. So you got that good karma, bad karma thing going right now. The Cubs are obviously in the Brewers' head. And until they're able to pull out a win, that's going to continue, number one. Number two, as far as last night, one of the things that were mentioned this morning in that interview was the Brewers seem to lack that one little thing that separates them from the Cubs. And you look at last night's game, and it's a combination of things. Quintana did a wonderful job in pitching, and he only kept us to basically two hits, i.e. the two solo home runs. You look at the fact that we were not able to put a combination of hits together on offense. You look at the drop throw from Kane to Villar, which allowed Sobris to get the second base. A batter later, they scored a run. You can't win games when we make the little mistakes that we continue to make. Josh Hader, again, the guy was 3 for 37 versus left-handed hitters. Here comes Hayward, and he slaps a base hit. You kind of have to kind of go and say, so what? The numbers are still in favor of Josh Hader. These things are going to happen. That's baseball. But again, they need to find that missing link. They need to find a way to win, and it better starts tonight, or they're not going to win the division.
They need to. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. They need to score runs. I know that sounds simple and basic, but they need to score runs. That's been the story of the head-to-head with the Cubs this year. Sure all is. Year. Yep. You haven't lost because of your pitching when you faced the Cubs. You haven't lost because of your bullpen or Craig Counsell when you faced the Cubs. The Brewers have lost because they can't score runs when they play the Chicago Cubs for whatever reason. And they can't manufacture runs, really, period, against the Cubs or anybody else. And again, you look at last night.
So how many games do you think they lose because of this?
Against the Cubs?
No, just in general, because they can't manufacture runs. I mean, you think they'll end up at 500, below 500?
No. This Brewers team is going to be around for the majority of the season.
Better than that.
Yeah, they're going to be around in the division for the majority of the season.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you mean? Because they have that much power, and they have that good a bullpen. They make up for it in other facets of their game. Okay. But they need to find a way to manufacture runs if they want to be in a class with teams like the Cubs and other contenders around the National League.
I'm okay with a 3-2 game if they win it.
Who else manufactures runs that has the record of the Brewers right now?
I honestly couldn't. I don't watch enough of the other teams in baseball to tell you how they're doing
because
it.
Because the only other team in the NL that has a better record than the Cubs, than the Brewers as of yesterday is the Cubs.
Yes, okay. In that sense, yeah.
Yeah, but nobody else is close to
them. I just thought you meant in terms of teams that were playing good baseball and are in contention right now.
Rami, they have to find ways to win a 3-2 game.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's not a lot of runs. They have to find ways to win a 2-1 game.
But when they've won one-run games this year, though.
Right,
they're
right.
Just
not
doing it with a bunt and a hitting the other way.
Exactly.
Base hit.
But no, I'm talking about
they're winning one-run games.
Yeah, I'm talking about against the Cubs. I'm just talking the Cubs.
Specifically the Cubs.
They've got to find a way to win it 2-1 against the Cubs. They got to find a way to win a 3-2 game against the Cubs.
And the more ways that you can score,
sure,
the better chance you have of winning those baseball games.
Sure, but you can't make mistakes, though, when it's that tight like that, and you just got to tighten your game up a little bit.
But the mistakes mean a little bit less if you're scoring runs. If you're up 3-0 or 3-1 when Ben Zobrist takes second, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I understand, but the pressure is just so much greater.
That's
when the game is like that, and then that allows mistakes to a minimum, and the better clubs normally don't make those mistakes. To me, that's what makes championships team. When you can't score 8-9 runs a game, or you might even not talk about 8 or 9. When you can't score 5 or 6 runs a game, to me, that's what makes
there it. There are a lot of playoff baseball games that were played exactly the way that Cubs-Brewers game
Cubs
played out last
night. The Cubs
pushed
them to the limit.
Yep.
And that's
absolutely
what you want.
Yep.
If I'm a Brewer, maybe the guys don't, but if you're in that clubhouse, that's kind of what you want. You're testing yourself. You see where you're at. You see where you stack against. You know what you got. As an individual player, you know what you – VR, okay, maybe he now knows, if I catch that, if I make that. Or maybe Craig is saying, but if I leave him in one more – I mean, it makes you analyze and dig down deep inside yourself and give something maybe you thought that you didn't have. That's what tonight does.
And we'll find out. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show will get you ready for that game coming up at 6 o'clock. And then after the last pitch, you'll make the switch to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show.
We got Tim Allen
presented
coming up
by
next, right?
Admirals Hockey. I just got distracted by something there. Yes, Twitter. And that's what I was leading to. Tim Allen, the franchise from the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show. He'll join the Wendy's Big Show right after Gary tells you about mentality. Go ahead, Gene.
Guys, you hear me talk about how I worked out. I mean, this morning I got up and I rode the bicycle about 4 miles. Had a nice workout, got a good sweat in, and then took the kid off to golf lessons, and that was very creative. And then came home and mowed the lawn and got on the phone at some particular time with Steve and Sparky, and we had our Steve and Sparky.
Both of them were there.
Well, I mean, you know. Rami, Steve, and Sparky. And it gets to be a lot, and you start getting confused, like I just did, Well, if you're going to go see my good friends over at Mentality Health in Milwaukee and Madison, those things normally don't happen. You can find these folks, good folks, at lowtusa.com. I bet there are a lot of guys who would say were more active, just a little bit more energy. Maybe it's getting through the workday without feeling exhausted, having more energy when you get home to the wife. Or maybe you want to be more active in your kids' lives. Well, today, Brock's got a baseball game afterwards, but this not going to take a whole lot of effort for me. I am the get back coach.
You're the what?
Get back coach.
What does that mean?
Get back!
That's your job as a coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
First base coach.
That's an important job.
First base coach.
Yeah, you don't want to not have the get back
get
guy.
Back.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's throwing it over to first, you
got to have get back, guy, for sure.
I am the self-anointed get back coach. Well, you can't do all that when you suffer these side effects of low testosterone. You're tired. You have low energy. You just don't feel like yourself anymore. When you work with Mentality, you're working with real board-certified physicians in a real medical facility that provides FDA-approved testosterone treatments. And get this, folks, unlike other places, Mentality takes insurance. These guys are legit with a 90% success rate. Be the guy you want to be and make an appointment for your free consultation today at Mentality Health in Milwaukee. Again, that's lowtusa.com. You know, I wonder if Sparky could be the get back coach.
Oh, Sparky would be a great get back coach.
Right, because he's got that loud voice.
Yeah, for sure.
Get back!
No, no doubt. And also, he loves
to scare somebody.
He loves to overreact, too. So, yeah, you know, he's going to scare those kids back to first base.
You know, the scary thing about being first base coach,
though? What's that?
Because these jokers can't throw very well when they throw back over to first.
Yeah.
You might get hit.
You might. That's a good possibility. Do you wear a helmet over there or anything? Sort of padding or protection?
Yeah.
At least a cup.
You should at least have a cup. I got both my hands in front of me.
You know, yesterday I talked with Tim Allen on the On Deck show, and he said that these series with the Cubs and the atmosphere that it brings is fun for him. We'll see if he's still having fun.
He enjoys losing.
After the way game one played out, Tim Allen joined us next.
They lose? Oh, that was fun. What was fun about losing?
On the Wendy's Big Show.
J Contractors. No job is too small, as they can do it all. Indoor, outdoor, outdoor oasis, you name it. My good friends over at J&J Contractors can get it done for you. Call my good friend Jason, and he will send his best workers over to try to get you all straightened out and figured out. That's J&J Contractors. No job is too small, as they can do it all.
It's been a tribute Tuesday here on the Wendy's Big Show, paying tribute to Danny Kerwin, original guitarist of Fleetwood Mac, who passed away age of 68. Another guy who knows his way around a guitar, and a microphone. And you'll hear him on the microphone after tonight's game and most every game that the Brewers play on the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show presented by Admirals Hockey. He is the franchise, Tim Allen. He joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this evening, Tim?
What's going on, boys?
Now, last night I had you on the On Deck show, and I will again tonight because I just can't get enough of Tim Allen. But you said that this atmosphere, this environment that comes with Brewers Cubs when both these teams are good is something that you enjoy. It's actually fun. You still having fun after yesterday, Tim?
Yeah, in a weird way. This is the fun factor. A couple of weeks ago, I had threw out the warning there that this is going to be a back and forth affair all summer long. Buckle in. School's letting out. Graduation parties and ceremonies to the wayside. Summerfest coming up. Better weather on the way. And it's going to go back and forth. And, you know, not only just between the Cubs and Brewers, but you look at the Cardinals right there. It's not going to surprise me that in a week, I don't know, 10 days, 14, 22, whatever it is, that the Cardinals take their time at first place. It won't surprise me. And this is, in a strange way, part of the fun.
Concern about this bullpen starting to wear down and blow up, as really right now you have Hader, Jeffers, and maybe Corey Knebel that you really trust. Albers on the DL. He hasn't been pitching well. Jennings hasn't pitched well for quite a while at this point. Boone Logan has been nothing short of horrible since he's been activated off of the DL. Really, this bullpen, it isn't the same bullpen it was for the first couple months of the season.
No, and that's why, you know, I got your text last night when Council made the move to lift Junior Guerra after 72 pitches and kind of rolling a little bit. You know, I understand that. At some point, he's going to have to alleviate some of the stress and high volume on the bullpen at some point, whether that's, you know, picking up an extra couple of outs, whether that's picking up David Stearns and Council, picking up another arm. And I wouldn't rule that out either. We always talk about, you know, whether it's the bat or a starting pitcher, not going to rule out that these guys make a move for a bullpen arm, as good as they've been. But, you know, at some point, they're going to have to, you know, let these guys go just a little bit longer, just a little bit. And it comes down to, you know, last night in specific, in particular, I would have made that move. I'll make it again tonight. You got a one-run lead. You know, heading toward the latter stages of the game, I'm going with Josh Hader.
So who is it tonight? Because there's no Hader tonight, so who is it tonight?
No, then it's Jeffress. And now you saw Jeffress do the one inning yesterday, and wouldn't it be funny that, you know, the stars just line up and you know, the target zone on the calendar lands right here in the middle of the Cubs series that Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress have their little hiccup. It, you know, again, that's a bad timing. But, yeah, I think it's got to be Jefferson. I think, you know, I don't think that Jennings is out of the picture here for tonight. And then Corey, if you get a save opportunity late, it's going back to Corey.
Hey, Tim, we've been breaking it down and putting it back together all over again here today for a better part of the big show. And we had Seth Everett on, and I asked him a question. I want to know if you agree or disagree with him. And this is not about breaking it down, putting it back together. Just one simple question. Is there a talent separation between the Cubs and the Brewers?
Yeah, I think there is.
The Cubs are a more talented team. I don't go on the radio station and say that as often as I can because I don't think there's any thrill in the answer to that.
Of course not.
It's also the reason,
people don't want to hear that.
It's also the reason why at the end of the day, I picked the Cubs to win the division, and I stood by that. Because I think they're a more talented team. I think they're a better baseball team.
Okay.
But, you know, but games are won on field, not on radio stations and not on print and not on blogs and not on Twitter. You know, to me, baseball games are won on field.
Agree or disagree, Tim?
Yeah, no, I agree with him that if you're going to play it on paper, the Cubs are going to take the division without question. And part of that is the economics. Part of that is the talent. It'd be nice to have another $60, $80 million to match their payroll, but that's not the reality here. Just take a look, guys, Gary, and it's a great question, but just take a look at the 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters mm-hmm. for each of these teams.
Right.
I mean, despite Kratz and VR being in that lower portion of the lineup, getting the two solo shots yesterday, you look at VR, Kratz, Arcia, and pitcher spot. That's 6, 7, 8, 9 for the Brewers yesterday. Who jumped for joy on that offensively? And you look at the Cubs, you got Baez down there, you got Russell down there, Contreras is down there in the middle portion, and then a little bit below. So
I think they had Schwarber batting sixth last night, Tim.
Schwarber's your sixth hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a disparity, guys.
So, Tim, with that being said, and you agree with that, so then what do the Brewers – I mean, we're breaking it down and putting it back together. Then what – because if that doesn't do it, I mean, what do the Brewers need to do as an organization to close the gap?
Well, it's going to have to be with some players, some maturation, some development, and some better management. They all need to improve, all of them, from the top down. And they'll admit that too. Yeah, I don't know if they'll – you know, necessarily jump from the highest mountain and say, I need to improve if you're talking to Craig Council. But everybody needs to improve, and you need to make good decisions. And but you do play it on paper. But so for now, Gary, it's got to be with gut and guile. And it does.
Is that Husfa?
What's that?
Is that the Husfa?
No.
Oh.
No, that that's their new player that they're going to call up.
The word Gary was looking for is a Yiddish term, chutzpah, yeah, that Seth Everett will frequently use when he joins us as our National Baseball Insider. But you were saying, and, Tim, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's got to be done with gut and guile. It's got to be from the coaching staff and the manager as well. I'll give you just a prime example of why this rubbed me the wrong way today. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But take a look at last night, and we'll talk about it hopefully if we can get to it on the show tonight. Maybe we can get to it tomorrow, too, with you boys. But Craig Counsell, talking about the play to VR, when VR dropped that baseball yesterday, that was a cinch double play. Mm-hmm. You know, Kane makes the grab, it's a fly out. Zobrist attempts to tag on that, putting the pressure on the defense. Kane makes his one-hop throw to VR. VR, all he has to do is catch the ball, turn around. He's got Zobrist by 3.5 feet. He drops the baseball. It's amazing to me how managers have this weird vision, and I can speak about eyesight. They oftentimes happen not to see things. Key moments of a game. Craig, there's one baseball and one base runner. What were you looking at that you didn't see that play? I wonder about that sometimes. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, he dropped the baseball, he's got to make that play. There's nothing wrong with taking him out of the game if he doesn't make a play, which he did Shaw over the weekend. They have to improve moving forward at every phase of the game. They do. And that's fact. And they'll tell you that. Still a good run here. Everyone says, well, the Cubs aren't clicking on all cylinders yet they're still, you know, right there and just took the lead in first place. The Brewers haven't either, guys. They really have not played their best baseball yet. And despite that, they're still 12 over.
That's Tim Allen. Catch him tonight and after most every game on the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show, along with Bill Baby Tal Schmidt. And he'll be right back on these airwaves in less than an hour, joining me on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, built by Ozinga. I am so looking forward to it, Tim. I wait with bated anticipation, my friend.
And I'm waiting for the call up of gut and guile. It's going to be amazing.
And chutzpah. Don't forget chutzpah.
Yeah, chutzpah.
Thanks, little brother, chutzpah.
What a chutzpah. Is that the same
thanks,
thing?
Thanks, Tim. It's basically gut and guile. It's basically same thing. Tim joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. Show is 2 to 6 every day.
That happened quick.
It did. Well, you know what they say, Gary.
Well, yeah, it's chutzpah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
We gut and guiled it today.
Our thanks to Seth Everett, who taught Gary about chutzpah. Also, Tim Allen for joining us. Thanks to Mike Clemens up
you
in Green Bay.
You said that's Yiddish?
Yiddish, yes.
Steve do Hebrew. A little Yiddish, don't he? He got
yes.
a Yiddish. What was
Sparky
that?
Will drop an oy vey on
yeah,
you every
oy
once in a while.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I use that a lot.
Yeah.
Are those real people?
Yes. Oh. That's the language of the Jewish people.
You know, it's a real good word.
Oh no, Yiddish. I said
yes, Yiddish, Hebrew. Yes.
Oh,
same thing. What's that?
You know, it's a real good word.
What's that?
That we got on the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show. Whooping soccer.
Whooping soccer.
Whooping soccer.
What
have you ever heard
that?
That?
No.
Look it up. It's a good one.
Is that
Yiddish? Could be a segment tomorrow.
Is that Yiddish?
Is that food?
No.
Is that something I'd have with my Beauforting?
No, it is not. No,
that
it is not
like
food.
Something I'd have with my Beauforting.
It is not food.
All right.
Wait, is it Yiddish?
No, it's a made-up Midwest Wisconsin like lingo jargon thing.
So you learn something every day here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Whooping
thanks
soccer.
To everybody who listened and contributed to the show. On Deck Show coming up next for Sparky, Gary, Anthony Mandela, who just taught us about hooping soccer. I'm Rami Makloff.
Whooping soccer.
Saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2. Whooping soccer.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.